Well, today we are pleased to welcome back Salty Cracker to the program. I want to save what the bio says about Salty Cracker until after this little break when we get into the meat of the show. Hysterical. One of the things we're going to cover today, amongst many others, is that protesters are setting themselves on fire. What's this all about? As well as what's going on college campuses. We have Ilhan Omar's daughter recently being kicked out of Barnard College. Lots of interesting feelings about that. Again, Salty is one of the biggest creators on Rumble. So follow him there on Rumble, rumble.com/SaltyCracker. We'll be right back with Salty Cracker.
Our laws as it pertains to substances are draconian and bizarre.
The psychopath started this way.
He was an alcoholic.
Because of social media and pornography,
PTSD,
love addiction,
fentanyl and heroin,
ridiculous. I'm a doctor for God's sake. Where the hell do you think I learned that?
I'm just saying.
You go to treatment before you kill people.
I am a clinician. I observe things about these chemicals.
Let's just deal with what's real.
We used to get these calls on Loveline all the time.
Educate adolescents and to prevent and to treat.
If you have trouble you can't stop and you want to help stop it, I can help.
I got a lot to say. I got a lot more to say.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Well, Mother's Day is upon us, and Genucel's Mother's Day sale has arrived as well. Perfect timing because Susan and I have upgraded our bundles with even more of our favorite skincare products now for over 50% off. We've been working with Genucel for almost 2 years, and because Genucel makes really the best skincare products in the world, you'll see. In fact, you can see how my skin corrected and repaired in this moment from the show live on our stream. And we know it's important to you. Genucel products use naturally effective proprietary ingredients that are non-GMO, plant-based formulas made in the USA. Just some of the reasons Genucel has 400% the customer loyalty of other skincare brands.
I know I'm a snob about the products I use on my face. Everybody knows it. Every time I go to the dermatologist's office, they're just rows and rows of different creams. And then when I get to the counter, they're overpriced. All kinds of products that you can all find at Genucel.com.
For now until Mother's Day, order Susan's Essentials Package to get her favorite Ultra Retinol and Vitamin C Serum, as well as other skincare must-haves. Order right now at Genucel.com/Drew and get a free luxury spa box that includes their incredible neck treatment, a free gift, plus free shipping. That is Genucel.com/Drew, GENUCEL.com/DREW. Well, as I struggle here with the wires.
You're busy over there.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the Twitter spaces up and running. It's not going to happen today, I don't think. All right, so a couple things I want to do here. First of all, I want to go through the schedule, if you guys don't mind. So, Caleb, if you could throw that up for me. We have Naomi Wolf coming in tomorrow. And Wednesday, we have Tom Renz and Sasha Latipova. Be interesting. We haven't talked to Tom in a while. He's been very active on social media. And Sasha has said some very unkind things, and I don't care. You're still welcome back on this show. April 30th, Donald Trump Jr. May 1st, Mike Lindell. We are going to be May 2nd. I don't know if you know this yet, Caleb, but we will be in Miami that day from a satellite studio, but I think we're going to have Peter McCullough in studio with us as well as—
Not May 2nd.
Yeah. Well, no.
No, that's the week before.
Is that May 7th?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
May 8th is Dr. McCullough.
Okay, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, we're going to the Rumble Studios.
Okay. Is it Rumble?
In Miami in person.
Okay, good. And Peter will be with us and maybe, I don't know, maybe go—
Dr. Kelly.
Yeah, do one with Dr. Kelly while we're there.
And maybe Dr. Riche.
Dr. Harvey Riche.
Isn't he going? He'll be there.
He has not. I don't know the answer to that, but I'd be delighted to have him.
I don't know. We might. And we're also going to have some TWC people there just to— It's going to be a TWC fun fest.
Fair enough. So that's what it will be. Now I want to talk a little bit about Salty Cracker, which I think today's show is dedicated to Caleb Nation's individual psychology because he watched, because for two reasons, because I want to read you the bio verbatim, which Caleb wrote, which is hysterical. And secondly, because tell them quickly, if you don't mind, what you saw that got you so upset. Well, what's not upsetting, but why you specifically have been reacting to the people setting themselves on fire.
Oh yeah. Like I made the mistake. I wasn't thinking. And there was the video whenever it was first up of the one guy that had set himself on fire. I think it was a month ago, the guy named Aaron. And it doesn't leave your head. Like it's stuck in my brain still. I watched it that one time and I should have known I was doing. I thought I was doing research for the show. I usually don't, and I thought I'm researching for the show, and then I'm like, oh, geez, no. I also made the mistake of.
I heard about it,
and it's very clear. These are people in psychotic states when they do these things, which has happened. I had people that would. I had a guy lop off his genitalia and then light himself on fire. I mean, this stuff has happened. This happens. It's just that we have to all watch it now. And I would argue that our mental health services are so either unavailable or egregiously expensive, or people are, you're not allowed to take people to care when they start getting into real trouble, particularly in states like California. This is how you end up with more and more and more of this. So we'll get into that. But let me introduce Salty Cracker. Let me read it as Caleb has presented it to me. Salty Cracker is one of the biggest creators on Rumble, though he's appeared on this program before. The producers of this show cannot locate a legitimate biography for Salty, so I will describe him by using his self-written disclaimer, which reads, quote, warning, these are the opinions and ramblings of a lunatic, unquote. So please welcome said lunatic. There you are.
<That's hysterical. laughs> Thank you. Thanks, Dr. Drill. Boy, when that's said by a doctor, it hurts a little bit.
It lands, doesn't it? It's different. So are there things that's of course. But it makes me curious about your upbringing. I always, immediately want to find out more when people are hiding the past. Is there anything interesting in your past?
Originally, it was because my wife and I, we both worked in the public sector, and having an opinion that deviates from the societal norms that CNN lets you have would get you fired, and so it was just kind of self-preservation, and then it just kind of turned into this mysterious situation. So I don't know. I'm just going to let it roll for as long as I can at this point.
All right, it's added to your mystique. Yeah. I get that. And what kinds of stories are you thinking about these days? I don't want to take away from your primary show, but I'm wondering what's on your mind. I've got a bunch of stuff on my mind.
Oh yeah, no, just I mean, you've got a clear banana republic going on lately, and these kangaroo courts and political persecution. You're watching clear. Election interference being done by the people who have been screaming about election interference forever, but this is actual election interference. And then, you're watching people set themselves on fire, and you've got billions of dollars missing from California's coffers when it comes to homelessness. And I'm just sitting there going, wow, we got a lot of trouble in this country.
Yeah, I would agree. Did you see, I guess it was on Joe Rogan, Tucker Carlson said something that caught both my and Adam Carolla's attention when he said, first of all, I've said forever that evil is never a mustache twirling, obvious, character that you can point to as evil. Evil is always carried out, social evil at least, is always carried out in the name of righteousness and good. You're helping people, you're doing what's right. No matter whether it's the French Revolution or whether it's what they're doing for the homelessness in this state, which is absolutely horrible and killing people, actively killing people. It's done in the name of being good and caring. And yet the very people that are doing this good and caring, Tucker pointed out, he called them weak. They're sort of the unwitting, what Lenin used to call the useful idiots. I don't know if they're useful idiots, but they're not the strongest people who stand up and go, hey, wait a minute, what do you want me to say? What? And it's also, and this is the part I want you to talk about, it's also often covering, it's like a projection. It's covering their actual internal world. Like, oh, I care so much about, I'll put it this way, I'll tell you a story. Adam always tells a story about his grandmother who keeps complaining that Dahlia doesn't have a coffee table. She can't afford a coffee table. And he goes, well, she works for you. Why don't you buy her a coffee table? Oh, come on. This is that thinking. Like it's always everybody else's responsibility, not mine. I'm over here. How dare you ask me to do something? This is what's going on right now. And this is what needs to be, frankly, mocked.
I agree. I think what we're witnessing is a hijacking of human nature. And there are people out there, and you can clearly see it in the political spectrum, where strong-willed individuals who come from healthy environments, healthy backgrounds, they're able to build and create, overcome, and withstand the slings that come from mean words and stuff like that. And then there's a far larger group of people that are unable to do that. And we live in a very sick society that is manufacturing more of those sick people. And these are people who, they don't want to upset the apple cart. They don't want to be attacked by what they perceive to be the majority. And they will go along with any atrocity as long as they feel that they can stand on a moral superiority soapbox and proclaim how much they care about said cause. But the cause that they can be screaming about is murdering. We're watching all of these things break out across this planet. And all of these people who want to keep this going on are thinking that they're doing the right thing, but they're not allowed to deviate. They can't say anything to the contrary of that. They got to say, well, I care so much about the Ukrainians, or I care so much about the Palestinians, or I care so much about the homeless, or I care so much. All of these feelings and these emotions, and they scream about that, but they can't comprehend that they're being used by an establishment that has essentially set up it's a two system beast here. Like, you're either for it, which is good, or you're against it and you're totally evil. And the system set up those parameters.
What do we do with this? I think it's something that lends itself to mockery. That's because you can't have arguments. You can't be rational about it. People spin in these bizarre emotions. So you have to sort of point it out for its silliness.
Yeah, I like to use mockery, because what they're using to do this is the appeal to authority. Every time that they want to push an agenda that seemingly strangles everybody, they trot out somebody in a white lab suit. No offense, Dr. Drill, but what they do is it's an appeal, and it's go, well, this is Dr. Fauci, or this is Dr. Bill Nye the Science Guy, or this is Dr. Bill Gates. Sometimes they throw Elmo in there as well, which is a little bit weird. And they say, look at this person. This is the highly esteemed Nobel laureate in this area. Now do what we say we want you to do.
Right. You better give me a re right now, because the my Restream chat is going crazy with requests for you to do that.
they love the re.
Re. Oh, my God. We have your coffee cup. I think you sent us, we have coffee with the re on the front of it. Did you bring it up here today? With the one day we really, oh, you have it?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's down there though. You drink out of it all the time. Sorry.
Elmo's a CIA asset, somebody's saying. So
I'm fired. Fire
so,
me.
So yeah, the authority thing is just from the starter so bizarre to me, because, you know, I was a part of this group of elites, I suppose, though I don't consider myself a part of them now, who were questioning authority in the 70s and 80s. And I was the one who was, oh my God, all the re's are coming up on the screen here. And I was the one who was sort of doing things like talking to young people about HIV that was contrary to authority sort of doctrine of the moment, because we saw authority as flawed and our job was to sort of question it and sometimes, you know, behave in such a way that we didn't respect authority because it was seemingly wrong. And I think that proved to be right in the case of talking to 20-year-olds about HIV, that lo and behold, they were at some risk and that they did have sex and should be spoken to about wearing condoms, which was considered outrageous at the time in 1983 and 1984 in the eyes of the authority. And these very elites now are the ones that were standing up and, you know, they were the ones that said, don't trust anybody over 30, always question authority. And now they're saying, no, you must fall in line with all authority. And it's this weird help me with this. This is what I'm really struggling with. One of the many things I'm struggling with. But they saw authority as the 60-year-old white man in 1978 with the skinny white tie and the horn-rimmed glasses. And because they're not that, therefore they're not authority. You know what I mean? And because they were busy questioning authority, they can't even identify with the fact that they are now the authority and they're asking people to fall in line with because they just see themselves as simply the good guys. And now we're back to perpetrating evil again.
Yeah. Yeah. What's happening right now just seems like a very bizarre, almost culture shock because, you know, I had originally been a lefty. I grew up in the Bay Area, raised by a very liberal mom. My conservative dad was working all the time. So I kind of grew up in this liberalism. And it was very much damn the man when it was seen as George Bush being the authority. And so we didn't like the spying. We didn't like the torture. We didn't like the endless wars. We didn't like any of this. And then we elected the Obama guy. He made everything worse. But then some people kind of got out of that that haze and that scam. But there's still a bunch of lefties. They're celebrating George Bush these days. These people are like, oh, why doesn't George Bush go out there and campaign for Donald Trump? He must be a good guy now. I'm sitting there going, you guys are all insane. This is madness. Everything that you hated about George Bush is being done even more egregious right now because there's some sort of political cover for it at this point.
So authority changes. The whole idea of what is an authority, who is an authority, it's just odd. But I don't know. I can't understand how they could sort of not understand what they're doing. And one of the theories is that they have things in their past, maybe pictures of them wearing blackface or whatever it might be, that they're deeply worried about and deeply ashamed about. So they're carrying the torch forward to me. It's really the people that have engaged in problematic behaviors that are the one carrying the torch with the greatest ferocity.
Yeah, I think you see that, especially with some of these people with the previous sketchy pasts. You'll see like Howard Stern and these people who were in really atrocious blackface. And they're the most ardent people now trying to cancel other people. And I think definitely an aspect of it is it's self-preservation. They're like, okay, we've set forward this woke Frankenstein and I don't want it to turn around on me. So I'm going to scream that I hate Trump the most. But meanwhile, I can't imagine any of these people actually lose any sleep over Trump.
Well, I was thinking just today about all the both presidential candidates as well as people that became president that I didn't like with intensity. I wouldn't say I hated because I didn't really think of it that way. But there were people, like I was really concerned when Bill Clinton was elected the presidency. He ended up being one of my favorite presidents. I voted for Jimmy Carter. By the end, I'd had an ass full of him. That was enough of that for me. I was very, very, very unhappy. But I didn't go into a weird, you know, sort of hatred, delusional preoccupation with them. What do you think that is? I mean, what is wrong with people that they can't? To me, the hysteria around Trump carried right on into COVID. And it's sort of at the core of a lot of this stuff. It's like, we have to be authoritarian because a populist could come in. Wait, let me, when they started saying that, I was like, you mean somebody who's the majority elects, that's what you're afraid of? That the actual functioning of your government as designed is what you have to create authority to fight against? I believe that's the kind of thing Lenin was talking about.
Yeah, I think that's an aspect of social media, which is the extension of this hyper evolution of our society that, you know, sparked with, you know, microprocessors and the internet and now with social media. And people, there's a window into people's lives that wasn't there 20 years ago. This evolutionary leap in understanding and being able to hold people accountable for stuff they did 10 years ago on the internet through social media is a whole new type of power for weak people to wield. And boy, they're drunk on it.
Yeah, they are. So I want to talk a little bit about, I know you have to get out at a certain time, so I'm going to watch the clock very carefully. But I also want to talk about, get your thoughts on this phenomenon. I had the great pleasure of interviewing Matthias Desmet. Are you familiar with his? He's the guy that sort of invented the mass formation theory.
No, right? I'm not familiar with that.
Psychologist. Oh my God. I would urge you to please watch that interview I did with him. He laid mm-hmm. because he and I are of like mind, he was able to lay out his whole stuff. And he said, he made a really interesting observation. I'd be curious if you agree with this. That the reason we had, well, he as I took it back to the French Revolution. He thought the Jacobins were the proto-totalitarians, and that's really where this current wave has started, was in the French Revolution. And that the reason totalitarianism could take hold in the 20th century is because religion started fading and narcissism started rising. And in fact, in the 19th century, people argued about whether there was such a thing as a narcissistic personality. It really was so unusual. And it was probably religion that kept that kind of tamped down. You know, you're sinful, you're flawed, all that stuff, that whatever narcissism you had got kind of kept down by religion. But the 20th century, religion started decaying and people started sort of putting faith in these centralized authority. Initially, a individual bigger than life leader, but now, much like the Jacobins back in the French Revolution, we seem to be going to this sort of monarchical, sort of centralized bureaucratic society run by the people, so-called, but the bureaucracy becomes the great authority we put all our faith in. And he said that bureaucracies, Matthias was showing, they're talking about mobs, that again, back to the narcissism, that we become very prone to getting collectivized and focusing our aggression on one person, scapegoating. So they're the mobs, and that the government is escalating these mobs through propaganda and using the mobs for propagandize things and ideas that they want to enhance, and then using the mob to cancel ideas and things that they don't like, and then sort of dialing up and down between cancellation and propaganda. And he said this, I'm curious what you think about that construct, number one. And then number two, he said that 20% of people are so prone to responding to propaganda. That's the useful idiots. It's the weak. It's the ones that do evil in the name of the good. He says 70% of the population typically, and he's been studying this for years, way before COVID. He said that 70% typically just kind of get along because they're scared and they don't want to lose their job and they just want to be left alone. And 5% see it for what it is and stand up against it. Do you agree with this sort of construct? And if so, how do we amplify that 5%? I would put you in that 5%. You know, and often they come from various ends of the political polls. How do we get that? How do we amplify people that can kind of see what's going on?
Yeah, there's a lot there. And I definitely see those threads. And when you just look at who's benefiting from everything that's going on, it is the bureaucrats. It is the political elite. It is these people who not only getting more political power, but they're increasing their bank accounts. And the rest of us are the ones being squeezed to death. And so,
yes.
I definitely, you can see how there is these social levers where you could very easily pull them, and what's being pulled, the mechanism that's doing that is the propaganda. There is clearly a vast amount of real dumb, low grade propaganda that is very easy to suss out. I mean, you're watching ardent people who've been just drinking down this propaganda starting to kick back. I mean, people who have had almost a second revival of their career based on ingesting the propaganda and screaming about it. Michael Rappaport comes to mind. This dude is getting whipped around 180 degrees from what he was screaming about on TikTok a few months ago.
So he went from a Trump derangement syndrome on steroids to now furious with the Palestinian protesters, right?
Yeah. And he's saying that he's not going to vote for Biden. Voting for Trump is on the table, and it's messing with his head. And this is a person who, if you can see Michael Rappaport doing that, Michael Rappaport is now torching his money bridges. He represents probably tens and tens of thousands of normal people, everyday people, who are also kind of feeling the same thing. If you can reach Michael Rappaport, which still blows my mind, you are having an impact on the ground level with average, everyday, normal citizens who are starting to understand that these people that are doing this, you are set forward in motion with what, if you are engaging in propaganda to increase your power at the cost of other people's livelihoods or people just in general. I mean, they're blowing people up at this point. You're an evil person. And evil people don't do well when they're working with other evil people, and they will start knifing each other out. They'll start overreaching. They're not great at holding a plan together. And once you set this into motion, you need people who are able to call out what is going to happen in the future, diffusing propaganda, and that 5% increases as they start recognizing more and more people that are calling out the propaganda. They look like they're able to predict the future when they can do that. And these criminals, as they destroy and take more for themselves, they're throwing the prices out of whack. You can't go to a car dealership anymore and get a car. You can't buy a house these days. Interest rates are through the roof. Your grocery prices are through the roof. And that's what's actually going to trigger people's brains to first go, hold on a second, am I being lied to? And then they'll find the people who've been wrecked and have been calling this out, predicting stuff like this. And that will reinforce what they're feeling at the end of the day when they're at the grocery store and they see that, no, inflation has not gone down. Prices are still through the roof. And by the way, your car has now been broken into while you're buying those eggs. And so crime isn't down.
Yeah. In fact, the mayor of Los Angeles was broken into for a second time today. So there's no increase in crime here. Yeah. But yeah, and I think COVID is another good example of that. Look at the people that were saying things at the beginning who turned out to be correct. And what about the BS that was perpetrated along the way on you and on them? Maybe those are the people you shouldn't be listening to. Now, I got to take a little break here. You said low-grade propaganda. I want to drill into that a little bit. I think we're being subjected to high-grade propaganda. I think it's all very carefully done. I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with Mike Benz and his thinking.
Yeah.
About the blob and all this. Yeah. And it suggests a very elite kind of thought out mechanisms that have been tried and true. So I want to drill into that a little bit. We'll take a little break. I'll have you out of here in time, Salty. And I want everyone to go to saltmustflow.com and also his Rumble channel. We'll be back in just a second. Let's talk about aging, because everyone wants to know how to slow it down. For almost a decade, I've been taking a healthy aging supplement called True Niagen. This supplement boosts NAD. That's something that cells can't live without. It's done with a patented form of nicotinamide riboside called NR, or Niagen. It's more efficient and more scientifically reviewed than NMN or other NAD boosters. True Niagen is truly the best way to boost NAD levels, and it's made by ChromaDex. They are the gold standard in the NAD space. Dr. Charles Brenner, the scientist who discovered the NAD-boosting potential of NR, explains.
And the center of the metabolism that allows the conversion of food into energy is NAD coenzymes. And NAD gets disturbed in the aging process. And as we're exposed to conditions of metabolic stress, Niagen, which is the form of NR that was developed by ChromaDex, is the best and the only fully legal form of NR. And this is really the gold standard for NAD boosting vitamins.
I love this product. I urge you to try it. Go to drdrew.com/trueniagen for 20% off your order. That is drdrew.com/trueniagen, TRUNIAGEN, and enter Dr. Drew at checkout, DRDREW, enter it at checkout for 20% off. We all know the value of a good night's sleep. We feel better, look better, have more energy to spare, but you could be missing out on all of those benefits if you're sleeping on sheets that are too hot or too cold or just plain uncomfortable. I have the solution. Cozy Earth bedding. Cozy Earth is the softest and most comfortable sheets, blankets, loungewear, and more. They use premium viscose from highly sustainable bamboo, and we sleep in them regularly. I wear their t-shirts. Susan wears their pajamas. Cozy Earth bedding comes with a 100-night sleep trial, which means you have up to 100 nights to sleep on them, wash them, try them out. If you're not in love, just return them within 100 days for a full refund. Susan and I love them. In fact, we have Cozy Earth sheets on our bed right now, and they made a huge difference in our sleep. If you've never tried Cozy Earth, we have some awesome news. You can save up to 35% off Cozy Earth right now. But hurry, this offer will not last. Go to CozyEarth.com, enter my promo code Drew at checkout for up to 35% off on your first order. That is CozyEarth.com, promo code Drew, C-O-Z-Y-E-A-R-T-H, CozyEarth.com, code DREW. You asked for it, and the wellness company has delivered. The medical emergency kit, replete with ivermectin, prescription antibiotics, and more, continues to fly off the shelves. We keep one here at home. And there are three new kits you need to know about, and more are coming. The Contagion Emergency Kit was inspired by the high demand for the medical kits. In that Contagion kit, you'll find ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antibiotics, budesonide, and a nebulizer. And a must for your next trip is the Travel Emergency Kit, something I made sure exactly what I give my patients is in this kit and some more. The kit includes remedies for jet lag, variety of infections, even GI ailments. Imagine your flight getting grounded anywhere, say even in the U.S., and you start getting sick. You do not want to be at the mercy of the U.S. healthcare system or any healthcare system. At home, we keep the ultimate first aid kit on hand. It has over 20 essential supplies and medications for situations when time is of the essence. Order one for your car and your go bag. Because these kits contain prescriptions, your purchase includes a telemedicine consultation as well as an instruction manual. Go to doctor.com/TWC for 10% off. That is drdrew.com/TWC for 10% off all your orders. I'm very excited about these kits. Go to drdrew.com/TWC. Well, Salty and I have been talking about things that seem out of control, but there are things that are within our control. One place to start could be our nutrition. Susan and I, we take care of our nutrition by becoming a team member on Paleo Valley. We love Paleo Valley. Their bone broth is the highest quality and best tasting we have ever found. We particularly like the chocolate. 13 grams of protein. The chocolate goes in our coffee on it every day. It's also vanilla and unflavored. Here is co-founder Autumn Smith.
We just take bones and we use only water as a processing agent. And then we added organic coconut milk powder and organic chocolate and a little organic chocolate flavor. And we created something that's absolutely delicious, a way to get your collagen.
Again, not hides, but from the actual bones of grass-fed and finished beef. You also get glycine, amino acid, glucosamine, gelatin, bioavailable protein, and of course, a great way to get collagen. And with our exclusive promo code, you get 15% off your first order of anything, 20% off when you subscribe. So to get a bigger discount, you subscribe on your bone broth, beef sticks, the new chicken or venison sticks. Venison sticks are amazing. Anything else at Paleo Valley, go to drdrew.com/Paleo Valley. Again, P-A-L-E-O, Valley, Paleo Valley, one word, for 15% off your first order, 20% when you subscribe. That is drdrew.com/Paleo Valley. All right, we are back with Salty Cracker. And apologies to you, sir, and the audience. I'm getting lots of criticism for not allowing the salt to flow. So we need to, I thought I was throwing out softballs or at least provocative questions that would evoke salt, but I'm not sure how to get there. So maybe you can help me.
No, that's very kind of the chat, but, I'm not quite sure. They want me to yell, but I'm not on. I can't go into Dr. Drew's house and start yelling.
You can. I'm giving you that permission. I'm giving you permission to start to rail, should you please, and maybe you'll evoke something more from me. And there's lots of code on my Rumble channel that I don't quite understand, but a lot of it is more salt, more flow, more yelling. So, what are you yelling about these days?
It's the continuing assault on this country that's clearly taken place. And when I was mentioning low grade propaganda earlier, there's mm-hmm. there's obviously varying degrees of propaganda, and propaganda will fall differently on different people. And so when you've got these dumb idiots out there who will just buy anything that is handed to them by these people who've been perpetually wrong. I see that as low-grade propaganda for anybody that's remotely paying attention. But then there's some real high-grade propaganda out there, and you just watched the whole world fall for it. I shouldn't say the whole world fall. A vast amount of the whole world just openly accept what known criminals have been offering to them in exchange for a donut. And it's staggeringly bad for our society to continue letting these people get away with this.
And yet we had the WEF, we have the World Health Organization, we have all of them, the ones that have been so wrong and so far out there that we didn't even believe they existed. They just seemed like too out there an idea, are suddenly sort of moving in We have a treaty coming our way, and they sort of are doubling. It seems like this is all a doubling down going on right now because of people like yourself raising questions. And so, of course, here they come. They're trying to consolidate power, which is an old move. What do we do?
We just have to continue essentially predicting the future. And I don't think it's that hard to do. There's a concerted effort out there. It's not an accident that I can't remember these. There's these two doctors from Long Beach. They were actually seeing patients at the very early part of COVID, and they were talking about their concerns, and they got silenced immediately by people who weren't seeing patients. Like, these doctors had data, empirical data. They were taking data themselves, and bureaucrats, not even in this country, were able to silence these people. And there's people out there, and how this social structure works is, they are told, you better shut up and be okay with that, or we'll ruin your life. We'll take your posts on Facebook or TikTok or Instagram. We'll ruin your life. And if you're in the profession, we'll take your license away from you. That's got a very deep chilling effect. And when this comes to our medical needs, that's going to get millions of people killed. You can't have a system that is set up where people's health is driven by bureaucrats who have nothing, no interest to do with this country or the people here. And everybody who was right was silenced. And everybody who was wrong was amplified. That's not an accident. That's an act of warfare.
And we now have the Twitter files where you see what they were up to. And of course, they were on essentially every social media platform. They were doing something of that source. Do you think the Supreme Court's going to come in and sort of slam this down? I mean, we heard Missouri versus Biden, it used to be called Missouri versus Biden, was presented to the Supreme Court. And then we have some of the Supreme Court justices saying, what's the government supposed to do when people are misinforming? I mean, this was astonishing questioning to me. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I haven't kept up on that making its way to the Supreme Court. I was familiar with it when it was in the lower courts.
Some of the questioning was appropriate, but some of the questioning was, I couldn't believe a Supreme Court justice would ask those questions. Like, you know, it essentially implicit in the question was the government should be determining what you know and don't know and what's right, and then they should be able to prevent you from saying anything else. That was embedded in the opinion. And I don't think anything could be further from the direction we want to go. And when I think about it, you're right, it's chilling is the word. What's MoHap? They're going crazy on my.
Oh, you don't want to know.
there's okay.
There's some code out. There's some code out there, Drew, that you don't want to bring up.
All right, good. They're going crazy.
It's something Obama.
Don't. Somebody just put now. Of course.
Am I right?
As soon as they asked, it started coming up now. So for the record, I'm not...
That's all that's going to be the chat.
I'm not in that camp.
I found out the last time.
I'm not... I'm not cool with that. I'm not in that camp. There's certain things you guys can go do whatever you want. I admire your ability to express yourself.
And with that, I think Salty has to go now.
But he's got two more minutes. But
you didn't bring up the university thing.
Yeah, I figure I'd talk about that once he's gone because he's got to go to a certain point. And I've got a lot of thoughts about that. But thank you for creating a meme for me to be made fun of on all social media platforms going forward. So
nothing's more embarrassing than that photo.
Are there any other acronyms I should be aware of that I don't say out loud?
All of them. All of them, Dr. Drill. They're all landmines.
They're so proud they got me to say it now. Oh my gosh. Look, I look at people. I'm just watching their threads. They're getting into it. All right. Well, you have a lively, somebody's even putting lots of, they want it one big re before you go. I know you've got to go like right now. So give them a big one.
Re. It's not the same one. There it's you not go. Organic.
It's good though. It's good. It's all right. It helps me. Salty Crack is December. Oh, really? Your appearance on this show is the number one viewed episode of my program on Rumble. So thank you for that. And now that you've elicited an acronym from me that expresses my ignorance and it has something terrible coming out of my mouth. Well played, sir. Well played.
You're making it worse.
It's your audience. your audience did it. Your audience did it. And so I want to fall on my sword and cop to it. I should I should be very careful when I repeat what's on the threads. What you've all proven is that if you put enough stuff, if you repeat something enough, I'm going to say it probably. So, all right, listen, I know you got to run. I want to talk a little bit to the audience about the people lighting themselves on fire and the demonstrations and things. I've got some ideas about that. We always appreciate you coming around, and we're slowly getting more salt from you. The salt is flowing more and more. You don't have to worry about this environment. We welcome you, and we welcome the salt, and we appreciate you being here.
Dr. Drew, thank you so much for having me again.
All right. You got it. Take care.
Thank you for the salty tips, everybody, on Rumble. We appreciate it. That doesn't happen over here very often.
What do you mean? Oh, the tip. There was all one person, and I was trying to keep up with it.
We're making cash. Can he stay?
So let's talk a little bit about people lighting themselves on fire. So what that is usually bipolar mania, when people do these sort of extreme, grandiose gestures. There's schizophrenics and people with delusional preoccupations can do that as well. It's not uncommon in this sort of extreme agitated state that they are in for them to self-mutilate in some way. As I said, I had somebody cut off his genitalia and then light himself on fire, a patient of mine. And this is all highly treatable. People do not need to be let to run to the, you know, run with their psychosis to the point that they harm themselves or somebody else. But that is implicit. It is a feature of these conditions. So as I say over and over again, in the state of California in particular, you are not allowed to help people with these conditions. If they say, I don't want help, the only way you can bring them in for help is if they say, I'm going to kill myself or I'm going to kill somebody else. And if at any point during the process of getting them into care, they say, just kidding, I'd like to go home, you have to let them go home. That is horrible practice of medicine. Is not how brains work. That's not how brain disorders work. And the extraordinary thing that I point out always is that if somebody has a dementia, a frontotemporal dementia, Lewy body dementia, which again is prominent psychotic features, sometimes Alzheimer's dementias can be with psychosis. So it can look like a schizophrenia or a mania, but if it's caused by dementia and you don't intervene, you are guilty of patient abuse. So in one setting, you're required to intervene. And in the other setting, symptom complex is the same. You are not allowed to intervene. Think how stupid that is. And dementias, we have no way to make them better yet. They progress no matter what we do. But schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, the earlier you intervene, the better they get and the better they can become, particularly schizophrenia. If you let that run, again, uncontrolled, untreated for years, you often can't get them back. If you treat them early and often, they do quite, quite well and can be restored to, you get the vocational rehab and get them back in the workforce.
And it could be caused by weed, right? Weed psychosis?
Well, that's something else I wanted to point out is that I don't want to be accused of saying weed caused this. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the cannabis, oh, here's the protester, yeah.
This is one from last year. There have been a series of these happening lately. That's why really got my attention, Drew, is that there were two in the past month.
Well, I want to say this, two aspects I want to point out, is that contagion is a real thing. So when people kill themselves people read about other people killing themselves, it tends to be a contagion to some of these behaviors. There can be contagion to eating disorders. There can be contagion to a lot of things that humans get into when they are, I don't want to say predisposed, when they're vulnerable. So vulnerable types are the ones that really get into trouble with contagion. When we worry about violence on TV and that kind of thing, it is the vulnerable we worry about, not the average person necessarily. So it's people that have these preconditions, these conditions that develop and are untreated. Now, the other thing is that Susan brought up, and this is simply the fact, is that I know it in this state, because in this state where cannabis is legal, it's California, the cannabis has become so potent, literally 100% THC in many cases, that we are starting to see medical consequences that I actually doubted cannabis could do. I was actually not in the camp that said, whenever they would talk about cannabis and psychosis, I would go, come on. Didn't see that very often. Maybe it's somebody with a predisposed condition, you're sort of bringing it out. Now it's clear. It's causing this stuff a lot. We're seeing a lot of agitated psychotic states from directly related to the cannabis because of its potency. So it's no longer something that's in question. It is something that is quite obvious. Now, whether you can correlate it with these episodes, it's a little tough to do. It's easier. I mean, if we're all in California, I'd go, hey, that's what we got. This, what do you expect? But it's a little tough to do that given that it's scattered around and it's easily explicable by contagion and the fact that we're not treating people properly. And some of the inability to treat these patients is a function of lack of resources for these patients. So the medical resources aren't there to treat them. And we don't have enough psychiatrists to do the work. People are having trouble getting appointments with psychiatrists and psychologists. And it really is gruff the Neanderthal. He's saying they're spraying fentanyl which is true. There's fentanyl even in weed these days. That is not causing psychosis. In fact, fentanyl could make the psychosis better. Wouldn't make them worse. Fentanyl downregulates the system. Now, the problem is fentanyl.
Yeah, but
kills.
You'd still get addicted to the weed and then keep smoking the weed.
No, the fentanyl is much, much more addictive, and that will definitely get you. But fentanyl will kill you also. So it's different. These are different things. And these are different chemicals at different strengths with different predilections in different human beings. So it's all over the place.
But did you say that the TWC levels were 100%?
THC.
I mean, THC, TWC, sorry. TWC, and back to our sponsor. It's 100% THC now in the marijuana, and I think a lot of people just don't understand how potent it is.
Right. Oh, that's for sure.
So if you smoke two joints, and it obliterates you. You know?
Oh my God. Well, they can't tolerate that much. Some people can. Some of our friends can. But for the most part, you smoke that much, you're going to be. I mean, it can really affect you. Look, it does. It's no
We've
longer.
We've seen it firsthand. It's not good.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Whoever this is, I can't see from Twitter. It's virtually 100%. It's not at 100%. It's nearly 100% of the THC in the weed. What's that, Caleb?
Strong.
I'm curious about the aspect of these people that are starting to set themselves on fire, and then they're filming it and then live streaming it. Like, how is that going to be affecting people long term? Because sometimes those things pop up, and you watch what happened to me is I watched the uncensored video, thinking I'm researching. I've seen horrible stuff on the internet before. Nothing prepared me for it's the sound of that Aaron Bushnell guy setting himself on fire. Like, listening to it, it just plays. It won't leave my head. Watched that clip one time, won't leave my head. So how does that affect people long term? And what is that doing to people?
What about kids?
Really, the question would be, what about children?
It's like a tiny, tiny bit of war footage that now millions of people have seen because they clicked on it and saw it on Twitter.
But Caleb, you can even see war footage. This is the problem with the internet. We don't know the impact of these images raining down on us. And to say that it's traumatizing will be, of course. The question is it irreversibly traumatizing? Could it cause PTSD? Is it going to change people's emotional landscape? Not if you're otherwise healthy. Again, it's the vulnerable that get the worst of this. So if you already are experiencing instability and chaos in your life, you're dysregulated emotionally, and then you're overwhelmed with these. I don't mean to, this is going to sound bizarre that I put this even in the same thought, but pornography also has overwhelming sorts of impact, different obviously, and not even necessarily unpleasantly so. I mean, it can be, but it's the arousal systems and the shattering of the brain's regulatory function that we're talking about here. And when you're young, you don't have that regulatory system in place. So we don't know the full impact of this.
Right.
And so I guess whether or not, go ahead.
I guess me being disturbed by it is a good sign, because that means I haven't been fully desensitized to it, even despite all of my years in college browsing 4chan, which you see this. I used to see this stuff all the time in college, just turning on 4chan basically. But now it's that's where I was wondering is is there a point where you get desensitized? I guess here's my question is, I was thinking about you as a doctor, and it made me wonder how many people in your, you've been a doctor 40 years now. So you've probably known or interacted with, what, thousands of people who have later died at some point? And how does that affect you? And how does like every doctor's that same way? By the end of your career, you will have known thousands of people you've interacted with, even if you didn't treat them, thousands that later on died at some point, just naturally. Right, how does a doctor deal with being around so much of that and
it's an interesting question. Yeah, right. You have to become a little bit desensitized, but you don't want to be completely desensitized. It's like the question is like, how can you be an ambulance driver? How can you be a paramedic and coming on these horrible situations? The first thing is you focus on the job at hand. You have a job to do, and if you do that job well, you've done the best for that individual. Then there is the natural course of life and death at an advanced age. And you can get very philosophical with that and become actually, I get very focused on with patients, even though it can be emotional, on making sure that if they've lived a dignified, that they die the way they want to die, they die the way they've lived, and that dignity be maintained, that comfort be maintained. And it can be, the language is hard to use here, but it can be a glorious process that is a part of life. We unfortunately have hidden it in this culture where no one gets exposed to it. Nobody believes they're going to get old. No one believes they're going to die. When in fact, it is part of life and you can celebrate it if you've managed to get all the way to the very end and lived a very engaged life. That's a wonderful thing. So you get to get philosophical about that. People that die young and unexpectedly, that is rough. It's always rough. And it's one of the reasons I could not be a pediatrician. I just can't do it. It's just, that was too much for me. And some people can't do it with people in adulthood and older. And so they become pediatricians. Right, and so it's already what you can kind of handle.
That makes sense.
And with addicts, which are young people that die, you have to immediately get familiar with how dangerous the condition is. You have to start with, this person is coming to me with a deadly illness. Their probability of survival is low. You have to have that as your, and if we get a survival, it's a cause for celebration. Not that you have to expect that they're not going to die, because it's so challenging, so dangerous.
And so,
kind of make sense?
That does make a lot of sense, because it's two very different things. It's like someone that's different from someone dying like a horrific death and then seeing the video of it versus, thousands of people who live long lives. And then there's another feature too.
Right. Another feature that you're bringing out, which you just said, what different than seeing a video. I cannot tolerate, I'm not good in the field. When things are out of control and I can't, I don't have everything at my disposal to make a difference. When I can't do my job, I hate that. I hate that. And paramedics are better at that. So I will always defer to paramedics when I'm out in the field, because I just that traumatizes me. So it's some of trauma is the lack of control and the powerlessness. And if you feel like you can do something, it makes you feel less traumatized by these not so fun situations.
Because that's why I guess it affects me so badly to see like even that short video clip, like it gets stuck in your head, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's already been done, and you're just watching this happen. And it's that's why I mean, I'm guessing that's probably the safest thing for people to do is to just not watch it. Like, trust when the internet says, "Don't click here, don't watch it." Just don't watch it. Mm-hmm. Even when it's censored, it's the sound of it, the audio of something like that is just so horrific that it doesn't leave you. And again, I guess that's a good sign about my mental health, is that it's still disturbing to me from a month and a half ago. It's still just like, I can't, you know.
And it's certain things, just the images get in and they become recurring intrusive images. They just do. Yeah. Somebody on the restream is very upset. Hang on really quick. Switch topics really quick. Somebody's very upset that I said Bill Clinton was one of my favorite presidents. Really?
I knew that was going to happen.
I didn't say I liked Bill Clinton. I said I liked his administration. Go back and look at how that went. It was not compared
to now. It was
pretty
good, yeah.
Compared to now, it looks glorious. Now, yes, compared to the 80s, not so great. But compared to now, it looks really
good. I didn't like the way it came out at the end when Afghanistan.
Oh, no, he did some short. He was asleep at the wheel in certain areas,
But I used to hate that the front page of the newspaper was always their legal problems. And we didn't know what the hell was going on.
I hated that. His behavior was predictable and reprehensible.
I hated him. I don't know. if that makes you guys feel any better.
Not a great guy, but I would say particularly how he managed the economy. It was pretty brilliant. So I'm just saying that. And the international thing, he was a little bit asleep at the wheel. Sorry, Caleb, what were you finishing your re-traumatizing yourself by talking about this over and over again?
Through it is it's there. There's like a sub community of people online, especially that they actually seek out these this type of content. Where there's websites that are dedicated to this, where it's just gore or death and videos of beheadings and stuff like that. And so, what attracts someone to go and seek out that content? Is that some sort of an addiction in some way? Is it triggering something in their brains and where they have to consume
it? Yes, for sure. I don't know. I've never studied people that do that, so I can't say it off the top of my head, but I've always worried when people do that. It seems sort of antisocial. It feels like a way of expressing violence and aggression without expressing violence and aggression. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, right. And if it works, if that's how aggressive and violent you feel inside and it works to discharge that by watching horrible things, okay. But or I worry that people don't care about victims of horrible things. So I don't know. I don't know what to make with that group. Hey, by the way, people are like, "Oh, you're attacking weed." I'm not talking weed. I'm not taking opinion on legal or not legal. No opinion about that.
No, but you have to be
hang
careful.
On. Alcohol is far worse, absolutely, in terms of its impact on our health and our productivity. Absolutely. That doesn't take away from the reality of another substance. You can talk about each substance individually, and you could talk about the range of reactions with that one substance in a range of individuals, because we're very different biologically, one from the other. And these chemicals and how we respond to them are very different one from the other. And dose matters, frequency of exposure matters, duration of exposure matters, and there are neuropsychiatric consequences. They all affect this instrument. And there are consequences from it. And I have some deep familiarity with what they are, having worked in the field for actively for 25 years and overall for 40 years. So it's just you, if you're having a reaction to what I'm saying, you need to look at yourself. It's what Salt and I were just talking about in terms of projection. You need to stay objective in all things. So what were you saying, Susan? I'm sorry.
I knew they were going to say that.
Whatever. Whatever.
See, look, the That's salty being, brought the real you out, and now we get to fight back. So
the real me.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the Rumble Rants. I'm getting near wrapping things up here, Susan. Anything else we need to go over? I didn't talk about the Columbia University. Yes, thank you. So Ilhan Omar's daughter was expelled from school and kicked out of the dormitories, and of course, thereby also the food services there. And she, first of all, I don't know the details on what she did. I can pretty much guarantee you it was not just demonstrating. There must have been something, because they do allow demonstration. Columbia and Barnard are the same institution. And I think everyone is aware that Columbia has students all over the campus now demonstrating actively.
But Barnard is 50% Jewish student body.
Correct.
50%. About that. Like, very small percentage of people in the United States are Jewish.
Right.
It's like, and they're all females at this liberal arts
so
college.
So look up...
which is not easy to get into. My daughter went there.
So let's look at the... And she told you she would be demonstrating if she had been there now.
And I said you would be off the payroll.
So she wouldn't. You wouldn't pay for her.
Yeah. I would kill her.
So that's just your father speaking. Where was I? So could somebody please look up the percentage of Jewish citizens in the United States? I think it's like 3% or maybe less than that. So Susan's point is well taken, that a school that has 50% Jewish females, it's a women's college, is a significant percentage. It's not 100%, right? What is it?
2020, the core American Jewish population is estimated at 7.6 million, accounting for 2.4% of the total U.S. population.
2.4.
So about 1,000 of them are at one school.
Right.
I don't know what the student
body was. But I can pretty much guarantee you it wasn't just demonstrated. There must have been a violation of, and by the way, repeated violation. I don't think they would kick somebody out with a one-timer. I don't know. Maybe somebody on the restream can set me straight on this.
They kicked 50 people out.
Right, they did. So they must have violated the policy, the policies that the students probably signed going into the institution, and or perpetrated some illegal acts. So they would have had, in addition to violating student policy, they would have been.
I'm going to imagine that the Jewish population there doesn't feel safe. I'm just going to put that out there.
That could be true.
And I think that the fear and the aggression is not good, even though, you know, having free speech is what they teach these kids, and they should have it, and they should have that opportunity. But is it peaceful is a problem, I think.
If free speech, I would take it to the mat for them. However, that doesn't the advocation of free speech does not permit you to violate law or contractual obligations you have made.
But I don't know that much about what happened.
I'm just saying, I guarantee you something like that happened. It just has to be, because they would not just for because of demonstration just kick kids out. It wouldn't happen. So I'm saying what happened there. I need more information. I'm looking at the restream to see if somebody can tell me, but nobody seems to really know for sure. And then Ilhan, but this is the part that I want to point out, which is that then Ilhan Omar's daughter goes out and says, I'm homeless. then all college kids are homeless unless they're at the institution, in which case go home. Go home to your mom. She's 2 hours away on a train.
Yeah, well, her mom probably said, what the hell?
No. Her mom,
maybe you're not coming home.
No.
Good luck with that.
Go home. You're not homeless. Homeless people do not have a home to go to. They do not have a couch to surf on or find someone in the city to surf on their couch. You're a industrious, brilliant young woman because you're at that institution. I know that. So stop it.
Yeah,
stop
that is kind of a stupid word for it. I would say, I don't know.
So I would say
excommunicated. But also are they going to get kicked out of school for the rest of the year? I mean,
they were expelled.
Yeah. So there you go. And so that means a horrible feeling.
Oh boy. Yeah.
I don't think, this generation has to understand that you can be excommunicated and you can be, disappeared in different countries. We have to have some control over the way we treat each other.
No, but Susan.
I mean, I don't have a problem with that.
Listen. If you sign a contract with somebody, that's an obligation. And you're not allowed to get out of that contract unilaterally. Both parties must agree to you being out of it. You saying, I have free speech, does not reduce your commitment.
I know,
to that
and
contract.
I agree. And, I mean, I think the schools are too lenient. I've always thought that.
And having free speech does not include breaking the law. You can break the law if you wish, but do not expect the law not to be applied to you just because you said I have free speech. So there are limitations.
I told all my kids if I saw them on TV protesting, I would cut them out of my will.
I understand you have stronger feelings about it than I do.
I don't think there's a reason to do that. I think we can have, a very quiet conversation and discuss all the problems in the world instead of going out and scaring other people and protesting. I don't like it.
Well, now you're drifting into this world of hate and what our obligations are not to express hate. I think that is very difficult territory because Susan, as soon as you start saying, I'm uncomfortable, I need a safe space. Well, where does that stop? Where does that stop? I think if you're uncomfortable with something somebody else is saying, you either remove yourself from that or take whatever measures you need to take to feel safe, whatever that is. It's not about stopping the other person. It's about doing what you need to do to develop your own resiliency and your own plan to protect yourself. Fine. So,
I mean, why can't they have debates? Can't the schools
because rationality is, Salty and I were discussing, rationality is no longer an issue. That people cannot have conversations anymore. So that is why mockery has become, that's why Salty is so successful. Mockery is the only sort of a way to call out the excesses. And that's where we are right now. So Caleb, anything else before I kind of wrap this thing up? I've got to be somewhere.
No, very, very interesting. I'm really excited for him to come back soon.
So I mean, but I want to hear Paulina's point of view on this.
I do too.
Because I get it. I'm completely different than her, but yes. She also went there and she understands,
Yeah. Well, I think we should all find out.
She probably also knows what the situation is a little
bit. Right.
More
we should find out more detail.
Although she hears her side and who knows? I mean, I'll look into it too.
That's true. We need to get the details. I absolutely agree with that. So Salty, thank you for being here. Check him out. Salty Cracker.
Yeah. I wish you had talked to Salty about it.
It's Salty Cracker 9. I screwed up his Twitter. It's Salty Cracker 9. Is that correct, Caleb? Did I screw that up?
I think you had that right. We tweeted at the right one.
I said saltmustflow.com. I said that, and then Salted Cracker 9. We always appreciate him coming on. He's always interesting. And tomorrow we will have Naomi Wolf. And then on Wednesday, we're out Thursday this week. Tom Renz and Sasha Latapova. Again, as I said, Sasha said some unkind things. Good. Fine. Bring it, everybody. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for the unkind things you said on Restream and Twitter. It gets me to, I'm sorry, Restream and Rumble Rants. I adjust my course. If your points are well taken, I hope I did so. And we appreciate you being here, and we'll see you tomorrow at, tomorrow's 3 o'clock. Is that correct? Tomorrow, 3 o'clock, everybody? Yep.
Tomorrow, 3 o'clock.
Double check that. All right. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock. See you then, Pacific time.
Ta-ta.
Ask Dr. Drew is produced by Caleb Nation and Susan Pinsky. As a reminder, the discussions here are not a substitute for medical care, diagnosis, or treatment. This show is intended for educational and informational purposes only. I am a licensed physician, but I am not a replacement for your personal doctor, and I am not practicing medicine here. Always remember that our understanding of medicine and science is constantly evolving. Though my opinion is based on the information that is available to me today, some of the contents of this show could be outdated in the future. Be sure to check with trusted resources in case any of the information has been updated since this was published. If you or someone you know is in immediate danger, don't call me, call 911. If you're feeling hopeless or suicidal, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. You can find more of my recommended organizations and helpful resources at drdrew.com/help.